So you see that these verses are certainly can be looked at together. These are instructions. Every verse is an instruction to a different group of people. The first one in verse 18 being wives. But I want us to look at pretty much just verse 18 and speak on the subject of submitting yourselves in all aspects, because you remember now that husbands and wives are a picture of Christ and His church. So when He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord, that goes beyond just our rightful place. And as He tells all of us to be subject in the certain roles that He's put us in this world, this one particularly pictures our submitting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is scripture that just about nobody believes. I'm sure you're all aware of that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. When Vicki and I were married, and she's getting worried over there whenever I mention her, our pastor, Jack Shanks, preached on this subject, submission. And quite a few of the people that I worked with were there, and you could imagine the heckling that I took for the next several years. For the whole rest of the time I worked there, I never lived it down. They were all, you know, making comments about submission, and you can imagine. I'll leave it to your imagination. As dangerous as that is, if you can imagine it, they probably said it. You know, in a light and making fun of it way, and that doesn't mean they were being, you know, mean about it. We were all friends, and they loved the wedding. Most of them cried at the wedding, so they couldn't say a whole lot about it. They weren't being cruel. But it was clear they didn't take the scripture all that seriously. And I would say that if you brought this up at work these days, you'd be hated by some. Submission is not a virtue in this wretched world. And the submission that is forced in the world is evil. Forced submission is not submission. And I want us to start there with our text. We often miss the most obvious aspects of the truth of God. Notice in this verse that submission is not something that's in the heart of the husband. The husband's not told anything here. He's not demanding it. He's not initiating it at all. It's something that's in the heart of the wife. You see the importance of that? It doesn't say, husbands, now see to it that your wives, you know, do what you tell them to do or whatever. No, this is wives. Submit. It's in their heart to do it. It's a willing and a desirable thing. The submission that is befitting, and that's a key word in this verse, befitting, fit, appropriate. The submission that's appropriate in the Lord is willing and desirable. Nowhere does it say to husbands, see to it that your wives submit. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is appropriate in the Lord. And if that's not a heart thing, then it's not a thing. It can't be forced. It can't be faked. It can't be rebelled against. Or you can't call it submission anymore. Now let's address this idea that enters everybody's minds when they're talking about this, that submission indicates inferiority in some way. Absolutely not so. manifestly not so. From the Word of God, not so. Our greatest example in this, of course, is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And He's not inferior to anybody. His name is above every name. So why do we immediately think submission means inferiority? We wouldn't even know what submission is if we had not Christ as the perfect standard for it. And who is He inferior to? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Never think of submission as inferiority, and never think of submission this way. People read this in the scriptures, and I believe we might tend to think that submission is something you do for a little while so that you can be exalted later. The submission, the servitude, the obedience of the master are His glory. They're not a temporary thing. That's His glory. Yes, He's going to be exalted in glory, but who's going to be exalted? The Lamb that was slain. We're never going to forget that. The glory of Him humbling Himself and becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that don't pass away. That's who He is on the throne. He is forever in eternity known as the Lamb that was slain. He said in Matthew 11:29, I am meek and lowly in heart. Is that who He is now? I reckon so, don't you? Is that who He is right now? Does that make Him inferior? I understand now some, at least by His grace, that He's on the throne of everything. But does that mean that He's not the same Jesus as He was when the very scars marred His hands and feet and side? Look how beautiful this is. Turn to Revelation 22 with me. Here is us glorified in Christ. Revelation 22:1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You see that? It could say God and the King. He was the King. It was above His cross, wasn't it? Isn't it interesting and wonderful that the way He's described on His very throne is the Lamb. Lambs are meek and lowly. That's who He is. That's eternally who He is. That don't pass away. It's not like, oh man, I got to trudge through this service down here so someday I can be on the throne. Look at this. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. We're going to be exalted with Him. We're seated in the heavenlies right now, on the right hand of God, in Christ. But we're going to serve Him there. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign. Wait a minute, Chris. I thought they were servants. They shall reign forever. How can it be both? Well, clearly this thing of being submissive and being a servant, we've got that wrong down here. We've got that all wrong. That's not something to be looked down on. That's glory. That's who's exalted there. God brought us down. Are you ever going to be anything but that before him? And how glorious that is. Paul said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. He didn't mention any of his educational credentials. I'm a servant of the King. If by God's grace we can get it right in a whole world of wrongness on this, we'll be blessed of God in a way that very few are. Look with me at Matthew chapter 20 in verse 20. Matthew 20:20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We're able. And he saith unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles, they exercise authority. Exercise dominion over them, over the Gentiles. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. It's not like that in God's kingdom. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. He's not saying if you'll be each other's servants now, you'll be chiefs later. That's not what it says. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Turn with me to John 13:25. He gave his life a ransom for many. And he said he was a servant. He was a minister in that. He was a servant in that. Look at John 13:25. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? The Lord had told them, one of you is going to betray me tonight. And John asked the Lord, Who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. We could talk for a while about that, you reckon? That thou doest, in betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. This wasn't a surprise to the Lord. He knew what he was going to do before he knew what he was going to do. He said, get it done. Do it now. Do it now. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag. He was the treasure. He had the money. That Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, you think, picture the scene in your mind now. He told John, now when I hand the sop to somebody, that's the one that's going to betray me. It wasn't hard to figure out, was it? He handed it to Judas. He said, what you do, do it quickly. And so Judas took the sop and he got up and left. And the Lord Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Now is he glorified. In obedience to the Father. In submission to the will of the Father. He gave his back to the smiters. He gave his cheeks to those that plucked out the hair. He said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. The greatest thing that ever happened or ever will happen was somebody showed us what it is to be a servant. To be a minister. And what a glorious thing. Can we get just a glimpse here of what a beautiful thing submission is? Submission. Submission is salvation. Why do you say that, Chris? Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To everyone that believeth. Do you see that owning Christ as your only righteousness before God is a submission? To submit yourself unto the righteousness of God in Christ is to confess that you don't have any of your own. No righteousness at all. To submit yourself to Christ, your righteousness, is to submit to God's truth that says you can't do anything about it. You don't submit until you not only see your need, but realize you can't fix it. You have no good thing dwelling in your flesh, and you're not fixing to. When you seek righteousness according to knowledge, see, that was the problem. They had a zeal of God. They were religious, but they didn't know God, not according to knowledge. But when you seek righteousness according to knowledge, you'll find. And it's Christ that you'll find. Seek and you will find. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So submission is salvation. It's bowing to Christ. And look what else it is. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You ever think about that? You might think that's selfish to realize that when you're talking about giving to the ministry of the Lord, giving to his cause in this world of the gospel. Not only don't do it grudgingly or because it's commanded of necessity, it's commanded of you. God loves a cheerful giver, somebody that wants to give. And look, but this also, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You think you're going to be a loser for giving to God? You think you're going to suffer? He's God. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. If you're able to give anything to God, it's because he already gave it to you. And he can give you more than that if he wants to. What you have and what you will have has nothing to do with how much you give. You're going to have what God wants you to have. You can't give it all away. You're going to have, you have right now what God wants you to have. And a year from now, you're going to have what God wants you to have. And you can't give too much to mess that up. That's so clear here. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Can you say that? I'm enriched in everything to all bountifulness. What a wonderful thing. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, you see this word over and over, servitude. That's what it means. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. It's just subjection to the gospel. It's not about my life and me enjoying it. The Lord's given us, he just said that, abundance to enjoy. And we do. And thank God for it. But this is a subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And then talking about giving, this is his final word on it. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians 5. In verse 15. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And you see that here's the context. This is This is pretty much what our text says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So everyone being subject one to another, it doesn't make void the specific areas, the specific roles that God has placed us in, and specific to those roles is submission in a different sense, such as younger to elder, the wife to husband. Submission in these different roles is important. We see that pointed out distinctly, but all of us is subject to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we follow His example of service, even as He came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister. Look at, turn with me to 1 Peter 5. We're almost through. We'll look at another scripture or two. 1 Peter 5:1. I want us to see what this thing of submission is, not just wives to husbands, although, as I said, that's specifically pointed out, but we're also told to submit ourselves one to another. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. You see that? It's not, the command to submit is not something that's given to the one in authority. It's given to the one that's to serve. And all of us are to serve one another. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. There are several places in the scripture where it talks about submission that this is brought up. Humility, because that's how it happens. Proud people don't submit in earthly things or heavenly things. All of ye, submit, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Everyone being subject one to another. And remember now, remember Matthew 25 when the Lord said to those on His right hand, I was sick and you visited me. I want to read that to you. You're familiar with this passage. Matthew 25:34. All of these are acts of service. They're all things that people don't want to do unless they care, unless there's love. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. These are all acts of service. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And you know what his answer is. If you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Service is a function of love. Listen to Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's why you would go out of your way to visit somebody when they were down. That's why you would feed somebody at your own expense when they're hungry. That's why you would serve. That's why you would make the effort. That's why you would sacrifice. By love, serve one another. And listen to this. What are we saying? Service is a function of love. Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You see how service and love are equated with one another. You can't serve both because you're going to love one and not love the other one. That's why we serve. Because we love. Those who serve in gospel terms are those that love. Simon, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Not rule the world. Feed my sheep. Who you serve is who you love, and who you love is life and death. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what was his commandment in that context? That you love one another as I have loved you. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. We need your grace to honor you in this. Our flesh is so contrary, so selfish. Give us grace to bow, Lord. Give us grace to serve, to think not only on our own things, but also on the things of others. To be subject one to another. To always be thinking, what can I do for those that I love? Give us that grace, Lord, to your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. What? What is she saying? I can't hear that. Y'all are singing right now. We have a special this morning. And it's Hannah and Amber. Y'all come on up. Seriously.
We
One of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. Beautiful. Y'all are on the list from now on. There's no list, but you're on it. All right, so beautiful. I love that song, and I've never heard it sung like that. Much never better than that. Let's be dismissed in prayer again. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for each and every brother and sister that you've blessed us with. Give us grace, Lord, to love one another more and more. Strengthen that bond, Lord, that we have in you. Give us grace to be a blessing, Lord, to one another, to serve one another. Even as you came to this earth, not to be served, but to serve us. What glory. What an humbling truth, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Bless the preaching. Give us messages, Lord, from your very throne. Messages of mercy. Messages of love. From the very heart of our Lord and our Savior. Soften our hearts and give us the high privilege of worshiping you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.